There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining me tonight on Next on the Tee. I'm your host, Chris Mascaro, and over the next hour, I'm going to be joined by two fantastic people doing great things in and around the game of golf. My first guest tonight is going to be Scott White. Scott is the president and CEO of the Ben Hogan Golf Company, who you know we've started partnering with earlier this summer. I play their PTX irons and absolutely love them. One of the things I love most about them is the V-sole design that they have that helps me get the ball up in the air much easier than before. And that V-sole design also helps me around the greens with their wedges as well. And I'll talk to Scott about this in a minute. But, you know, the first time I took out my wedge with the Ben Hogan Golf Equipment Company, my new wedge with my new PTX irons, I had about a 30-foot chip shot. And that 30-foot chip shot found the bottom of the cup. And I said, you know what? Sold. I'm in. And what a great experience it's been using, you know, their irons that I'm very, very happy with. Look forward to talking to Scott about that. We'll also talk about the innovative materials that they use in their iron sets. We'll also talk about, you know, how he's been able to bring back the Ben Hogan brand from bankruptcy into where it is today, and their new, you know, go-to-market model, where they are, you know, kind of eschewing the big market stores, and you're going right from the factory, you know, to your house. So we'll talk about all of that and a whole lot more when Scott joins me here in just a few minutes. Following him, I'm going to get a return visit from Dr. Bob Jones, the fourth grandson of Bobby Jones. I really enjoyed the time I got to spend with Doc back in early July. And since our last visit, he's traveled over to Scotland, spent some time at the Old Course in St. Andrews. So we'll hear stories about that trip. Plus, Doc is a sports psychologist now. And, you know, we're going to talk about the mental side. You know how we like to talk about the mental side of the game here a lot on Next on the Tee. So we'll talk about, you know, his thoughts, particularly with respect to junior players. How can we help our junior players deal with the pressure of the game? Plus, you know, as they get introduced to playing tournament golf and start to play in front of people for the first time, how can we help them deal with that? So we'll talk about that and a whole lot more when Doc joins me about 25 minutes from now. So more great stories and instruction coming your way tonight on this edition of Next on the Tee. Thank you so much for tuning in and taking the journey with me over the next hour or so. And as you know, folks, we are sponsored by the French Lick Resort. Let's hear a word from our good friend Steve Rondinero about what they have going on this fall.
Fall golf is gorgeous at French Lick Resort. Perched on one of the highest points in Indiana, the Pete Dye Course hosted the first ever Senior LPGA Championship this summer. Ask the ladies, the views are spectacular. The venerable Donald Ross Course is looking better than ever as it celebrates its centennial. Go to FrenchLick.com and save with our Hall of Fame package. Play legendary golf at French Lick Resort this fall.
Yeah, folks, be sure to go online to FrenchLick.com to see for yourself how great a place it is and to book your stay as well. And, folks, have you heard me talking about ClubHub sensors over the last couple of months? If you haven't, listen up and get ready to discover the best portable shot tracking and swing analysis golf device out there. Other shot trackers tell you what happened. ClubHub tells you what happened and why. Take the progress that you make on the practice tee directly to your rounds with the only device of its kind that can go on the course with you. I have Club Hub sensors on all of my clubs. They screw right into the tops of your grips, and I can tell you, since I put the Club Hub sensors on my clubs, I've learned more about my swing and all the data around it than I've learned over the 40 years I've been playing the game. And not only do you get, you know, GPS distances to the hazards and the greens, but after your round, you can look back at the images and the layout of every hole on the course and see exactly where you hit every shot. No other GPS tool on the market captures that and lets you go back and review your round the way Club Hub sensors do. It's available, you know, their app is fantastic. It's available for Android and iPhones, and the app keeps track of your swing speed of each club that you've got, you know, your tempo, the angle of attack, plus you see a 3D view of your swing as well. And no other rangefinder can do all that for you. Go over to clubhubgolf.com to order your set of Club Hub sensors today and enter the coupon code NEXT, that's NEXT, to get 10% off on all products at checkout. Again, clubhubgolf.com, enter the coupon code NEXT, and you're going to get the best GPS and swing analysis tool on the market for a great low price, and you're going to see your game in a whole new way. Plus, folks, as you know, we're excited to be partnering with the Ben Hogan Golf Equipment Company. They are back with the same great equipment that you know and love without the retail markup that you hate. You can now buy premium Ben Hogan irons, wedges, utility irons, hybrids, and bags directly from the factory at prices your wallet's really going to appreciate. Visit them online at benhogangolf.com or give them a call at 844-53-HOGAN. That's 844-534-6426 to learn more and order your set today. Please also check out our friends at the Bobby Jones Apparel Company by going online to bobbyjones.com. Their new holiday collection is out. The shift in seasons is a perfect opportunity for you to change things up layer upon layer and give your wardrobe a boost of dapper style. They've got some great details coming out in their new items this fall and this winter. Fresh colors, new additions with genuine enduring character. See the new holiday collection by going online to bobbyjones.com. And folks, as you know, we are partnering with Russ Holden and the folks over at Caddy for a Cure. And one of the most unique opportunities in the world of professional golf is available to you through Caddy for a Cure. Spend a day inside the ropes with one of the world's best players as their caddy. It's a fantastic way to have the time of your life while supporting our wounded service members and Fancona Anemia. You're going to get to walk side by side with tour players experiencing professional golf as an insider. In addition to the amazing experience you're going to receive, you're going to get a fantastic gift package from Caddy for a Cure, which includes Under Armour logoed apparel and an eyewear package, tour-grade caddy bib suitable for autographs and framing, a tin cup ball marking gift, chef's cut real jerky, and professional photographs from your day. Go online to Caddy for a Cure, that's CaddyForACure, caddyforacure.com to learn more. All right, now back with me on the French Lick Resort guest line is the CEO of the Ben Hogan Golf Equipment Company, Scott White. Let me remind you about Scott's background. He started his career in advertising up in Boston, and one of his clients was Spalding Sports Worldwide. He was hired away to be their product manager for Top Light and Strata golf balls. Later, he managed the Ben Hogan business when Spalding bought them in the late 90s. Spalding dissolved in the early 2000s, and their golf assets, both Hogan and Top Flight, were bought by Callaway, and Scott moved down to Carlsbad, California to run their marketing efforts. 2007, he went to TaylorMade and ran their iron and wedge business for a few years. Then he transitioned over to True Temper Sports, where he ran their sales and marketing efforts on the West Coast through 2014. After nearly 30 years in the golf business, I decided to try a little something new, so in 2014 and 15, he worked for a high-end archery and hunting company called Bowtech. But having realized, you know, his heart was in the game of golf, he returned to the Ben Hogan brand in early 2016. He's navigated them through bankruptcy and is now trying to bring, you know, one of the most iconic brands in golf back to life. And we are honored to be partnering with Scott and the brand now and excited to have Scott back with me tonight on Next on the Tee. Hey, Scott, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, no problem, Chris. Thanks for having me.
So, Scott, you know, 2017 seems like it's been a year of, you know, resurrecting the Ben Hogan brand. Talk about what you've done to bring that brand back to life.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting year, to put it mildly, to kind of relive the last 11 months in a minute or less. We unfortunately declared bankruptcy in January. this year after having, for all intents and purposes, ran out of money in late 2016. So we spent the first part of the year, really 6 months, trying to figure out what's next. Where do we go from here? And to be blunt, one of the things that we were considering was to just let's close it up. You know, maybe there's not a place for the Ben Hogan brand, but none of us really believe that. We did some market research and found that there's still a very loyal following for the Ben Hogan brand. There's really no baggage surrounding it, and pretty everybody we talked to, any serious player, really wanted us to see us succeed. So we analyzed a number of different ways to go to market, thought about, just trying to do what everybody else does again and sell through traditional retail. Maybe there was a different trick or a different way to do it. But we really said, hey, if we're going to succeed, we need to be bold and brash and live up to our company's history of innovation. And came out of bankruptcy in early July, I guess it was, and decided to go factory direct consumer. And we have eliminated all retail. We're not selling anywhere other than at benhogangolf.com exclusively. And, you know, there's a lot of benefits to that. There's a lot of challenges with it as well. But the last 120 days since we started that new business model have been extraordinarily positive, and we're really, really optimistic about the future.
And just to expand on that a little bit, Scott, you know, talk about, you know, so you got no middleman, you got no markup there. Talk about what it means for consumers and for our wallets.
Yeah, I mean, well, it means a number of different things. I mean, there's a couple of different facets to this business model. We are absolutely 100% committed to never deviating from Mr. Hogan's mission of creating the best, highest quality, best performing golf equipment in the world. So there's no deviation whatsoever from that overall goal. What we are doing though is we're keeping our costs low. We've reduced our operating costs significantly, outsourced a lot of our different needs in the organization, including marketing, including operation, some of the operational functions, finance and accounting. So we don't have the big fancy building anymore. We have a small group of, you know, highly trained craftsmen and R&D folks that are committed and come into work every day to make fantastic golf clubs. You know, on the other side of the equation, by not going through traditional retailers, whether that be a sporting goods store or a golf specialty store, you know, we're not at all obligated to play by their rules. You know, there are certain costs that most consumers don't see nor understand. But, you know, it costs money for a manufacturer to get placement in prime positions in stores. You have to commit to certain marketing budgets. There's all sorts of policies whereby if product doesn't sell, you got to come and pick it up and replace it with new product. And it's just a very, very expensive proposition to work through a traditional brick and mortar store. So without any of those things holding us back, you know, we're now able to cut out a huge part of our cost structure. Again, without at all minimizing quality, and offering products that, you know, a year ago, quite honestly, cost $1,200, $1,300 for a set of irons are now half that. Our PTX irons, which are fantastic irons, as you mentioned earlier, now sell for $770 online with, no charge customization with either steel or graphite shafts. Fort Worth irons are $665 our forged wedges are less than $100. So, you know, if you compare that to other premium golf equipment out on the market that you'd have to go into a store to buy, that's a significant savings.
Yeah, and so let's kind of walk through those models, you know, so that, you know, our listeners can understand, you know, the different types of irons you have available and what the differences between those. So if you would, you know, talk about the PTX irons, talk about the Fort Worth irons and the differences amongst those sets.
Yeah. You know, both of those irons have been available now for over a year. We have some new product coming in 2018, but our current product line is relatively small, relatively manageable. The Fort Worth irons are, for lack of a better term, a traditional single-piece forging. I hesitate to call them a blade because typically blade has some pretty negative connotations about playability and forgiveness. But, you know, the Fort Worth irons are very playable, very forgiving. We have a depression or a dimple that we've designed individually into each club head to move weight and maximize weight dispersion throughout the set. So no club head is identical to the next one in the set. So again, a very playable single piece forging. A lot of people will look at it and, you know, it's got a very thin top line and not a lot of offset and say, you know, I can't hit this. But I can't tell you how many times I've been on the range and had an 8 or a 9 handicap player say, wow, this is just amazing. I get the ball up really easily and it's just this doesn't feel like any blade I've ever hit before. So that's kind of our flagship product. The other set of irons that we have on the market right now is the PTX irons. And those are a totally different animal. They are it's a lot of technology packed into those clubs. They are a multi-piece forging with titanium and tungsten inserts within the club head. Each strategically placed to, you know, maximize weight dispersion again. The long irons are hollow in design and incredibly easy to get up in the air. We have a number of people ask us if they're legal, but they are of course legal, and just feels like you're cheating when you hit a long iron. And the short irons are really just feel great because of the forging. I mean, you just they just keep the ball low, spin a lot, and we have players from, you know, plus handicaps all the way up to 18 handicap, 20 handicap players that are all experiencing a lot of success with PTX irons. So we're thrilled about both of those. I mean, we don't have any product problem, that's for sure.
No doubt. Let's talk a little bit about the wedges, the TK wedges, and the design that makes them different from other wedges. Because, you know, one of the things that struck me right away is, you know, the V-sole that these wedges have and how easy they are to hit. And you might have heard me talking about it, you know, in the top of the show. Very first chip shot I ever hit with my TK pitching wedge went right in the hole, 30 yards off. Nice little bump and run. Boom, right in the cup. And, you know, from that moment on, I was sold, you know, not only, you know, for the PTX, you know, irons, but also the TK wedges, because the feel of them feels different than any wedge set that I've ever used. Talk about what you guys have in those TK wedges.
Yeah, there's a number of different things, but I'll tell you, you talked about the feel, and I think that's really key for a lot of people. You know, the vast majority of wedges that are on the market right now, including, you know, all of the industry leaders, are all cast clubs. And there's nothing wrong with that, but cast clubs have a very different feel than a forge club does. They tend, but not always, to feel harsh. And when you're around the green and you kind of need to be connected to the ball, there's nothing like a forged wedge. And that's really our history. That's our heritage. And that's what we'll stick with. I don't think you'll see a cast club from the Van Hogen Golf Equipment Company anytime soon. But you also referenced the V-sole design. And that's, you know, really something that's innovative. A number of other companies have emulated it in recent years, but it's not quite the same. Our product has a very, very sharp leading edge and a more subtle bounce angle in the rear of the club. And it just allows for all kinds of playability from different lies. I mean, people talk about, you know, being able to use one wedge in 3 or 4 different situations, you know, around the green or from 30, 40, 50 yards out. They're just really versatile. And I think that's the ultimate benefit of the V-sole design. It just adds so much more versatility than many other clubs, so many other wedges on the market.
Scott, let's talk about the hybrids, the VKTR hybrids. You know, these are some clubs I've been dying to get my hands on because you've modified that V-sole design to put it around the entire head of the hybrids. Talk about that, plus what makes these hybrids so much better than the other hybrids out on the market.
Well, there's a number of things. I mean, you know, we have 11 different SKUs. So, you know, all the way from I've got to double check, but 17 to 27 degrees. And, you know, typically when you have, you know, that sort of breadth in a single product line, you know, many times they're just one head with different loft angles. Ours are three different head designs. And so, you know, each one is specifically designed for a very specific purpose. The V-Sole design that we've incorporated into the VKTR wedges really allows for, again, it's all about playability. It allows you to use that club in many different situations on the golf course. You know, I know a number of people and myself have experienced frustration with hybrid clubs in the past. You know, they're sometimes very difficult to get through, you know, the first cut of rough. They're great in the fairway, but difficult in the rough. And our VKTR product is really great from almost anywhere on the golf course. And on top of that, there are weight ports where you can personalize and customize the weight settings to hit a different kind of ball flight, whether you want to hit a draw, a fade. You know, there's just a lot of adjustability in these clubs. They also just have a very unique profile, very high toe. You know, I've, you know, again, been around a lot of people, a lot of good players recently that have just struggled because many manufacturers just sort of adapt an iron or conversely adapt a five wood and turn it into a hybrid. And that's, you know, typically not the way to get great design. I mean, these were designed by some heavy hitters in the golf industry who have a lot of experience with hybrids, and they are just great to look down at. They just instill such a sense of confidence and, you really look forward to hitting them. You know, a lot of players kind of get nervous when they have to hit their hybrid or a long iron, but I'll tell you, these are just great to look down at and really make you feel like you want to hit that next shot, that 200-yard shot into a green, because you know it's going to hold.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, a couple of the unique things that as I've sort of reviewed the hybrids, you know, as you mentioned a moment ago, you have them in 1 degree differences, right, from 17 to 27, right? So it's
correct.
Easier to try to figure out, or it gives us more, I should say, more options, right, with our hybrids.
Right.
Talk about why you decided to create them in those 1 degree differences.
Well, we really look at hybrids as an extension on the long part of your iron set. So if you have a, you know, let's say your first long iron is 20 degrees. I mean, we really believe in consistent gapping throughout your set. All of our iron sets are sold in consistent 4-degree gaps all the way through the pitching wedge. So a 20-degree make, you know, I don't like to call it this, but most everybody else refers to it as a 20-degree forewood. You know, then we have a 20-degree 4-iron, a 24-degree 5-iron, and so on and so forth. We on the other end of it, look at it as, you know, you should also continue your set on the long iron with a 4-degree gap. So if you have a 20-degree 4-iron, our preference and our recommendation would for you to have a 16-degree hybrid to fill in that gap in your set. So you have a logical, very stageable and understandable distance gaps in throughout your set and in the distances that you hit on the golf course. So it provides a lot of flexibility and a lot of variability to how you set your bag up. You're not, you know, beholden to, you know, distance gaps that are really all over the map. I mean, if you look at if people really measured their irons and understood the loft, the differences in lofts, they'd probably be very surprised. There are huge loft gaps in the long part of most sets, and very, very small loft gaps in your wedges and 9-iron, and where you really need, you know, much more option, you know, variability and more options in you know, how you're going to attack the flag.
And that's something that you guys also do that's different than most manufacturers is in your iron sets, you put on there what the degree of loft is on the club, right? So I can see what degree loft my 4-iron is and what degree loft my 5-iron is. And then you offer the ability to change those lofts, right? Because when I look at your iron sets, again, you know, you can choose what the loft is. You can make it a 20, a 21, a 22, a 23 degree, you know, 4-iron. You can, you know, make it wherever you feel comfortable in, and then decide what your gaps are in between those irons, correct?
Yeah, what we do is we have 4 different launch profiles for each set of irons. So we have a low, a mid high, and a high. So if you prefer to hit the ball low, which a lot of players do, for example, in Texas where we're located, you know, we would suggest, hey, let's start with the 20 degree 4-iron, and then that would carry on through the pitching wedge in 4-degree increments. For other players that like to hit the ball high or struggle to get it up in the air, you know, conversely, your 4-iron can be 24 degrees, which will allow for a much higher ball flight with each iron in your set. So there is a lot of variability and a lot of options depending on, you know, how you like to flight your ball. We have, you know, you're absolutely right, Chris. We do have each loft designation stamped into the sole of our club. But we found through market research in the past year or so that, you know, a lot of players like that, and a lot of players just didn't understand it and struck, you know, golf is hard enough than, you know, you being out in the middle of the fairway trying to figure out what a 32 degree club is. So just in the past 6 or 8 months, we have now begun to laser engrave the traditional iron designation on the hosel of each club as well. So now you'll have both the loft and the traditional number to reference.
So Scott, as we embark into the holiday shopping season, you know, for the Ben Hogan or the golf enthusiast in our family, do you guys have something going on special for the holiday shoppers to be able to go online and do a little something special for the golf enthusiast in their life?
Yeah, we actually just had a very successful Black Friday and Cyber Monday promotion. We will continue some of those into the holiday season. I know on either Friday or Monday, and most likely Monday, we'll launch a new wedge program where you can get a pre-pack 3 wedges, with 4-degree increments of loft. So you get 1 gap wedge, 1 sand wedge, 1 lob wedge for $240. So $80 a piece, which again is about half, you know, 1 wedge on the, and if you walked into a traditional retailer these days, is about $160. So you can see it's a pretty significant savings. But we'll have some other programs that we roll out and introduce, and you know, our goal is to offer flash sales and special programs throughout the season. So I would urge people to check out our website on a regular basis and sign up for our email list to get those list of upcoming promotions.
And Scott, as we look ahead to 2018, you know, you sort of briefly mentioned it a little bit ago, but talk about, you know, anything, what's new on the horizon. Maybe give us a peek under the tent a little bit, what might be coming up, whether it's at the PGA Merchandise Show in January or later in 2018 for you guys.
Yeah, we do have some really, really exciting stuff coming. I'm actually really excited about what's on the horizon. I can't give you as many details as you'd probably like because I just don't have them all right now. But we will launch, not necessarily at the PGA show, but shortly thereafter, when the Sunbelt regions really get going and start playing golf again. We have some really great new products. We are not, I can tell you for certain, going to enter the wood market right away, but that is definitely something that we're developing, and when the time is right and we have a product that's worthy of the Ben Hogan name, we'll get into that that area as well. But you know, really our goal is to be very finite and tight, offer a finite and tight product line, really designed for serious accomplished golfers for the most part, although again we have some mid to higher double-digit handicap players, the teen handicap players that are really playing the PTX irons well. We are going to launch a new line of accessories. We've had, you know, an uproar, a cry from people that, you know, really passionate about the Ben Hogan brand and want to wear the brand on a cap or a bag or a towel, or, you know, there'll be a lot of those products available in early 2018 as well. But I would just tell you to be prepared, because we think we have this figured out, and as I said earlier in the discussion, we're really optimistic about 2018 and beyond.
That's fantastic. Scott, before we let you go, how can our listeners stay up to date with everything that's going on, you know, with the Ben Hogan Golf Company, with the brand, whether it's they're going online or they're checking you guys out over social media?
Yeah, I'd say the best thing to do is to not only visit the website, benhogangolf.com, but to sign up for our email list, which you can do right on the website, and engage with us on any of our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We've got a pretty robust marketing team that's a lot more educated about the digital world than I am, but there are a lot of ways to stay connected to us, and there'll be, as I said earlier, no shortage of new news from the company in the upcoming months.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come back on the show. I'm very excited to hear about all the great things that you guys have going on with the brand. You know, tickle us a little bit about what might be coming up in the future. Looking very much forward to that. I love the PTX irons that I'm playing. So, you know, you guys are doing such a wonderful job. I can't thank you enough for your time, and hopefully we get the privilege of having you back on the show again real soon.
Anytime, Chris. Thank you very much for having me, and I hope you have a great holiday season.
I appreciate that. The very best to you and your family as well, Scott. Look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Thank you.
That is Scott White, and Scott, again, is the CEO of the Ben Hogan Golf Equipment Company. And folks, check him out online. I'm telling you, the PTX irons that I'm playing are probably, you know, without a doubt, the best iron set that I've ever played, and the wedges, the TK wedges, I can't tell you enough. I mean, you know, again, you know, first chip shot right in the hole, right? So, you know, hey, you know, you got lucky. But you know what? The feel that they have and the V-sole design that they have is just, they are incredibly easy to hit. And the word that comes to my mind when I think about hitting those wedges is butter. It feels like, you know, it's a buttery, soft feel that these wedges allow you to have that is just like nothing I've ever played before. They're fantastic. And, you know, the confidence that you have when I look down at my iron set, again, you know, so much, right, about the game is mental, and it gets in your head. But when I look down at, you know, at the club heads, and the waggle you have, you know, before, you know, you hit your golf shot and that sort of thing, the confidence that these irons instill in you is fantastic. And I get the ball up easier than I've ever had with any other iron set to get the ball up in the air. So, you know, that's the first sign, right? How does it feel? What do I look at when I've hit the golf ball and I'm looking up now and finding the shot, you know, I have the confidence that the ball is getting up in the air. And then, you know, when you're around the greens, again, you know, these wedges are unbelievable. Okay. BenHoganGolf.com. Go check them out online. Stay up to date. Like he said, like Scott shared, you know, get signed up for their newsletter so you're right on the edge when anything comes out. And I tell you, I'm really happy to hear him talk about some of the other things like the hats, the shirts, the towels, and those sorts of things, because that's something I've wondered about as well. And look forward to, you know, sporting those sorts of things as well. So hopefully we get Scott back on the show again real soon. But I hope you go out, you know, online and give these clubs a shot, because I'm telling you, you're going to be very happy with what you see and what you feel. All right, before I get to my next guest, Dr. Bob Jones, I want to give a shout-out to a few of our other sponsors. First, I want to remind you about our friends over at SinkIt.com. You know how we like to keep things on the positive side here on Next on the Tee and have a positive approach both in life and out on the golf course. Well, we're excited to be partnering with the folks at SinkIt.com. Keep putting that positive thought of sinking the putt in your mind with their great line of T-shirts and hats. To win any tournament, you got to sink the final putt, right? We wake up every day, finish strong, sink the putt, close the deal, work hard, get better each and every day. Have the confidence to push forward towards your dreams with unwavering passion, and you're going to sink it in life. Check them out online at sinkit.com. And folks, have you heard me talking about Club Hub sensors over the last couple of months? Well, if you haven't, you're just not paying attention to the show, because I'm telling you, you know, get ready to discover the best portable shot tracking and swing analysis golf device out there on the market. Other shot trackers tell you what happened. ClubHub tells you what happened and why. And you can take the progress that you're making on the practice tee directly to your rounds with the only device of its kind that can go on the course with you. I have ClubHub sensors screwed in, you know, right into the tops of the grips on my Ben Hogan clubs, right? And I can tell you, since the ClubHub sensors have been on my clubs, I've learned more about my swing and all of the data surrounding my swing than I've learned over the 40 years that I've been playing the game. Not only do you get GPS distances to the hazards and the green, but after your round, you can look back at the images and the layout of every hole on the golf course and see exactly where you hit every shot. No other GPS tool on the market captures that and lets you go back and review your round the way the ClubHub app does. The ClubHub app, it is available for Android and iPhones, and the app keeps track of your swing speed of each club in your bag, your tempo, the angle of attack, plus you get a 3D view of your swing as well. Again, no other rangefinder can do all of that for you. Go over to clubhubgolf.com to order your set of ClubHub sensors today and enter the coupon code NEXT, that's N-E-X-T, to get 10% off all of their products at checkout. Again, go online to clubhubgolf.com and enter the coupon code NEXT, and you're going to get the best GPS and swing analysis tool on the market for a great low price, and you're going to see your game in a whole new way. I also want to remind you about our friends over at Par Bar. Energy and focus on the course is essential, whether you're playing, you know, out on tour, in your club championship, or your weekend four ball with your buddies. Par Bar, the golfer's nutritional bar, can help you with both of those things. Eat some before you get to the first tee and the rest every three holes until you're finished, and you're going to play with more energy and focus to win. Par Bar was developed by a lifelong golfer and a food scientist to help all golfers play their best. Go online to parbargolf.com to get yours today. And folks, this segment of the show is sponsored by our friends over at the PGA Tour Superstore.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the PGA Tour Superstore. See why golfers everywhere are proud to call PGA Tour Superstore their golf pro shop. Visit them online at pgasuperstore.com. Now, back to you, Chris.
And now back with me on the French Lick Resort guest line is Dr. Bob Jones, the fourth grandson of Bobby Jones. And let me remind you about Doc's background. He was born and raised in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, which is located in the very western part of the state over near the New York state line. He now lives in Johns Creek, Georgia, which is just northeast of the city of Atlanta, and he studied at St. Minard Seminary and School of Theology. He graduated from the Georgia School of Professional Psychology. He has a bachelor's degree in English Literature, a master's in Divinity, and a doctorate in Clinical Psychology. He's working now as a sports psychologist, and I had such a wonderful time talking with Dr. Bob the last time that I couldn't wait to get him back on the show, and I'm very excited he is with me tonight here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Doc, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, thanks, Chris. I'm so glad you had me on tonight. I appreciate it.
So, Doc, you've been very busy since we last talked at the beginning of July, and I want to start out by hearing about your trip over to St. Andrews. I saw some of the pictures look fantastic.
Oh, Chris, it was a fantastic trip. We went over to be with the Bobby Jones Scholarship, which is a program between Emory University and the University of St. Andrews. They did their 40th anniversary reunion in St. Andrews. It was an absolutely wonderful time. I got a chance to see Jones Scholars that I've not seen in years, and I am so proud of what all of these folks have accomplished. It was a great trip. And we followed up 4 days in St. Andrews with a one-week tour with Emory University over in Scotland. So we went everywhere from Loch Lomond down to Edinburgh, and it was just absolutely wonderful. But it was good to get home.
And Doc, I saw some of the pictures from your trip, and I love the picture I saw of you and your lovely wife from inside the hell bunker at the old course. And I always knew it was certainly not a place you wanted to hit your golf ball, but I didn't realize exactly how deep it really is. And I saw the picture of the two of you standing in it, and you guys, you know, standing up straight in that bunker, and it was still a foot over the top of your head, which would make me feel like I'm standing in a large grave. So what was it like standing in there, and did you play a shot out of it? What was it like?
No, I wasn't able to play any golf while I was over there. I've been wrestling with an on-and-off neck injury all year. And when I was over there, it was just pretty bad. So what we did was we took Sunday morning and afternoon and just walked the old course. which in some ways was better because I got a chance to see and really explore a lot more of the course than if I'd played it. Because, I mean, if I had played it, all I would have seen was the rough and the bunkers. So this way I got a chance to see the fairways, too, and it was very nice. So,
and speaking of one of the other bunkers, you know, legend has it that in 1921, your grandfather tore up his scorecard in the Hill Bunker, which is on hole 11, you know, when you were there. And I saw, you know, a picture of you in that bunker as well. Could you understand why you might have torn up his card if he got in there?
Oh, I would have torn up my card long before then. But, yes, definitely I did. You know, the funny thing about that is he actually never did tear up his card in that bunker itself. There was a gentleman who was actually discovered in the St. Andrews, I forget the name of the newspaper, but he actually witnessed what happened with my grandfather's card, and that was Bub went to the 12th tee and teed off, and when he was walking down the fairway, he called over for his scorer, asked for his card, very calmly reviewed his card, and then tore it to pieces. Nobody knows what happened to it after that. He probably did not throw it in the Eden Estuary. He probably stuffed it in his pocket, but he continued to. But I did recreate tearing the card up in the Hill Bunker mainly for fun.
And, Doc, you know, as you mentioned a moment ago, the opportunity to get to walk the course might actually even be better, and I can understand why you'd say that. But for those of us who haven't yet experienced the feeling of either teeing it up on the first hole at the old course or just walking those grounds, what does it feel like? I mean, I'd imagine you get overcome with the history and, you know, and what that course has meant to the golfing world. But what does it feel like when you're walking walking those grounds?
You know, it is the most amazing feeling. I have been blessed to be able to walk and play on a lot of the great courses of the United States. And there is no feeling quite like being on the ground at St. Andrews and knowing that just about every single great player and great personage of the game of golf has at one time or another walked that very ground. It is almost beyond words, not just in terms of, you know, the great play, but the great players, but also the events. For example, when my grandfather went back in 1936, when he was traveling regarding the Olympics in Berlin, and he decided to play a casual round at St. Andrews and tried to slip in under the radar, you know. And when he showed up on the first tee, there were about 500 people waiting for him. And when he got out to about the sixth hole, there were about 1,000. By the time he hit the ninth hole, there were the entire town was following him. And he said he played some of the most inspired golf that he had played in years, and it was so emotional that he just didn't have words to describe it. And to think it was right there. And then for me, it was even more moving when I got to the 10th hole and I looked down on that tee, and there was the plaque that said number 10, Bobby Jones. It's the only hole, I think, that was the only hole that didn't have a name. And all I could think back to was when my father was there in 1973, and Dad was a member at the RNA at that point, and he was over there to induct that hole in honor of his dad, my grandfather. And in fact, my father even struck a ball off that tee to dedicate it with a ball driver that was a replica of what my grandfather used. So it was an incredibly emotional experience and just an absolutely beautiful place.
And Doc, you mentioned the town. What about being, you know, at the hotel that's there on the grounds, or just sort of walking around the town of St. Andrews? What's that like?
Well, you know, one of the nice things about walking around St. Andrews, if you like experiencing all four seasons, you will generally do that in a 15-minute period. So you can experience the entire year many, many times in an hour. But, I mean, it's really quite remarkable. I had a chance to go visit the wonderful folks over at the St. Andrews Golf Company, where they make reproductions of some of these really, really old golf clubs. And then a few days later, my wife and I actually toured their plant, which is about 7 miles outside of town. And, you know, here you find people that are actually making playable clubs out of hickory and forged steel, and they have the balls of the period. And, I mean, as you go through St. Andrews, the love of golf and also with the university, the love of learning that is there, and just the overall friendliness of the town is absolutely striking. Honestly, I can't think of a more wonderful, wonderful city than St. Andrews. One of the highlights for my wife and I was we had the chance to visit Younger Hall, which is where my grandfather was named a freeman of the city of St. Andrews. He was only the second person to be named a freeman, second American. The first American was Benjamin Franklin. And, you know, I walked into Younger Hall to show it to her, and it's just this tiny little hall. I mean, it looks much bigger in the pictures than it actually is, but it's also a community hall. So here they do these wonderful events, and when we walked in that day, there was a ladies' dance class going on. So it's a wonderful experience, and I think everybody that plays golf or is even interested in golf should really at some point in their life see St. Andrews, Scotland. It's just remarkable.
So, Doc, to kind of switch gears a little bit, you are a wonderful sports psychologist here in town, and I know you do a lot of work, you know, not just here in the city of Atlanta, around the country and around the world. But I wanted to get your thoughts because, you know, my son is a junior golfer playing on his high school team. You know, when you're talking to younger players, junior golfers, new players coming into the game of golf, you know, handling pressure, you know, for these young kids is something that, you know, they're going to, you know, deal with if they decide to stay in the game and play in more tournaments and that sort of thing. How do you talk to younger kids about how to deal with tournament pressure, something that's, you know, probably new to them?
Well, I think there are a couple of things to that, Chris. I think the first thing you have to understand when you're dealing with a younger player is you have to really work with them to understand that the most important part about golf, especially when you're talking about people that are in like that early teen period, that the most important thing is to have fun. They need to learn, and learning how to have fun, I mean, that can be a learned skill. Some people have it down pretty easy. Some don't. So they have to realize that golf is ultimately a game. Then the second thing is, and you have to base this on where they are developmentally, and that is they have to learn something that really all adults have to learn, and that is that pressure is ultimately something that is self-imposed. That nothing in and of itself is nothing that is in and of itself that meaningful a thing. It is just simply something that we apply looking back at a situation. So I'll give you an example of what I mean. Picture yourself in a tournament, and you've got a fairly straightforward, say, 150-yard shot into a green. The only thing that really matters in that is that particular shot. The trick mentally is teaching people how to kind of dissociate all of the other stuff that we try to put on ourselves so that you can focus on the task at hand. Now, you know, a lot of psychologists will write about it as staying in the present or staying in the moment or one shot at a time. And it's an easy thing to write about, but it's a hard thing sometimes to train people to do. I think back even into the 1970s, there was a golfer from Florida named Bert Yancey who came close to winning the Masters a couple of times. And he said back then that the hardest thing for him, well, and the thing he said that cost him a couple of green jackets was he was trying on his jacket when he was still on the 15th tee. And there is an example of mentally allowing yourself to get out of where you need to be at the moment. So I would say the techniques that I use is one of the things, especially with young players, is I try to teach them to have fun. And the second thing we try to work on is how to stay just on the present moment. And as I said, it's not as easy as it sounds, but those are the two things that I would work on with very young players. Interestingly, the having fun part is something I would work on pretty much with people of any age.
And Doc, maybe it's along these same lines, but for kids who are playing in tournaments and are now starting to play in front of galleries for the first time,
yeah,
other people watching them, how do you keep them, you know, like you say, whether it's in the moment or to not, you know, really register that other people are out there watching them, but to focus on just, you know, having fun, playing the game, hit this shot. How do you get them to deal with, you know, being in front of people watching them play for the first time?
Well, you know, that's one of those things that you just have to learn how to do. And it's not something that just comes naturally to anybody. I think it's just, as I said, it's just something, it's like doing a radio interview. You just have to do them to the point to where you're comfortable with doing them. So what I always tell people, if they're going to play in their first tournament, say, I will always point out to them, and I would say this even to an adult playing in their first member guest, it's perfectly okay to be nervous. It is absolutely okay to be nervous on that first tee. If you're not used to having people watching you, I would almost expect it. Because here's the thing. If you expect that you're going to be keyed up, then it's not going to impact you as hard as if your plan is, I'm never supposed to be keyed up. I think it's very important with the clients I work with for them to understand that the range of emotions that they feel on a golf course is not a surprising thing. It's just what you expect. And when you treat it that way, it's not as paralyzing. Now, there are some times where people will have really, really bad experiences in front of people. For example, maybe they just totally gas a shot under pressure, you know, something really, really tough. And that has to be looked at a little differently. And sometimes that becomes a little bit more clinical. And to be candid, a lot of the reactions you see when people have something like that are, this is going to sound strange, but it's true. It is very similar to the reaction you would expect to see with somebody with a post-traumatic stress. And it has to be treated accordingly. And then, generally speaking, people recover from it, and they go on, and they do okay, just as they would in dealing with a stressful situation. So that's how I would approach that.
So, Doc, let's take the tournament talk up a couple of notches. And a couple of months ago, you know, we were here with the Tour Championship, played at East Lake, where your grandfather grew up, playing the game of golf. Curious to get your thoughts on what we saw at this year's Tour Championship.
Well, what in particular? What in particular about it?
Well, you know, so we saw Xander Schauffele, right? He won the tournament. He won by a stroke, you know, over Justin Thomas, you know, who would ultimately, you know, take home the FedEx Cup. But
Player
you know, boy,
year.
When you look at guys like Xander, Xander's 24, Justin's 24, Jordan's 24.
Right.
We're seeing a lot of really strong play from really a group of kids, right? They're just, you know, boy, when you think about how young they are, but how much they've accomplished in the game. But, you know, just curious to get your thoughts on what you saw from the tournament and from the young guys.
Well, I think, you know, first of all, they may be chronologically young. I mean, they may only be in their early to mid-20s. But remember, these are men that are extraordinarily experienced in competitive golf. And they have been playing probably on the junior level since they were probably 9 or 10 years old, and some of them playing even before then. So they are exceptionally conditioned physically, they are exceptionally conditioned mentally, and they have an experience level that is absolutely unbelievable. So, you know, I'm not as much surprised at seeing those younger guys coming on this strong, because they have already had exceptional competitive experience. So as I said, I just don't see it. I just don't see it as a surprise. I think, in fact, I think that as we have clubs that improve their education programs. For example, at my home club, the Atlanta Athletic Club, we have beginning golf classes going for kids that are 3 and 4 years old. So, you know, a person picks up a golf club at age 3 or 4. Well, by the time they're in their mid-20s, they've been playing golf for 20 years. They are not going to be as intimidated by the game as somebody who may be in their 20s but only started playing in their mid-teens and came along as people did back when I was a kid, which would have been back in the 1960s and 70s. These young people are trained to be where they are. It reminds me of a comment that Rich Lerner of the Golf Channel made many years ago. He said, you know, we're not far away from the point that if your 12-year-old isn't shooting 67, he might as well just hang it up. And I think that's there's some humor to that, but there's a lot of truth to it too, and that's because the way we prepare people to play championship golf has totally changed. I'll give you an idea of what I mean. I work with a couple of people. One of them is mid-teens. The other is late teens. In each case, I'm working with them. They have a swing coach. They have a short game coach. They have they do physical training. I mean, basically, these are teenagers who already essentially have an entourage. I mean, think about that for a minute. So when a person with that kind of a background hits the PGA Tour, that's not like it was 30 years ago where you spend your first 3 years just trying to figure out, what am I doing here? By the time they hit the PGA Tour, they already know why they're there, and they are already ready to be there. And that I think, is the reason why you see Thomas and Xander and, you know, all these guys coming up in their early to mid-20s really doing remarkable things. And probably it's going to – I would not even be surprised if it starts getting even a little bit younger.
And to that point, Doc, I mean, I you know, that's one of the things that strikes me is, you know, these kids, you know, I say kids, right, you know, the JTs and the Jordans and the Xanders and, you know, John Rahm, who's even younger than them, he's only 23, out there winning golf tournaments because, you know, they seem to be, you know, friendly with each other. We've seen a lot of, you know, friendship and the camaraderie that they have because they've been competing against each other since they were 8 or 9 years old. So yes. I think you make some really excellent points that, you know, these guys aren't afraid, you know, maybe like some people were in the past, or intimidated, I think is the word you use, to win a major or to win a golf tournament, because A, they've been, you know, they're playing against the same guys they've been playing against for, you know, 10 or 15 years. So they're comfortable playing with and around one another. They're friendly with each other on and off the golf course, and they're conditioned to play golf, you know, for that period of time. So it seems like, you know, winning majors isn't the intimidating factor that maybe we saw, to your point, you know, guys playing in, you know, when we were growing up in the 60s and 70s, might be intimidated by the moment. These kids don't even seem like they're intimidated by the moment, even winning at St. Andrews or winning a Masters, because they've been doing it, you know, they've been playing with each other for so many years. It's just like any other tournament, and they're walking right in and winning. It's amazing to me. Kudos to them, but it is an amazing thing to me to see the switch.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And, you know, the thing that they do, I think, that's incredibly great is, like, if they go to a place like St. Andrews or Augusta National or Wingfoot or any place like that, they don't get wrapped up in what the history of it is while they're on that golf course. They are totally focused on the mission at hand, and that's a huge difference. I played with a guy once a few years ago. I was invited over to Augusta National, and I was playing with a person who had never been there before. And after he made about 3 quadruple bogeys in a row, I had to take him aside and say, you know, buddy, it is just a golf course ultimately, right? And he settled. And once that got in his head, he settled down, and he played actually pretty well. So it went, but these kids, that's where they are to begin with. I mean, they're unbelievably talented physically and mentally. It's just amazing to watch them.
And Doc, just, you know, to talk about Augusta National for a minute, and, you know, Speaking of great places, everyone who listens to the show knows how much I revere Augusta National. I've been blessed to go to the tournament a couple of times. It's my favorite place on the planet. In your opinion, is Augusta National, is it the type of golf course and the type of club, I guess I should say, that your grandfather always envisioned it would be? And has the tournament remained something, you know, that you feel like still has his imprint on it?
I can't really speak to the club because I'm not a member there, and so I don't understand, you know, I don't know really anything about the internal operations of the club. But as to the course and the tournament, here's the best way to answer that. In some ways, if you were to just go from 1934 to now, you would see it is a totally different event, bears no resemblance to what my grandfather started if you do it that way. But here's where it does bear a resemblance. The Augusta National and the Masters Tournament have continued to evolve gradually over the years, and they have always used a philosophy to identify who the best players are. And they do that by constantly tweaking the golf course, a few yards here, a few less yards there, a little faster green here, a little more slope over there. And so in some ways, would my grandfather recognize it? Well, that's not a fair question because he's been gone for 46 years. But if you look at the philosophy that he put in place back in 1934, and there were a lot of changes between 34 and 35, and you carry that throughout the years, I think the philosophy of Bob Jones and the philosophy of Bobby Jones on a golf course is very, very much alive at Augusta National. And I think that what you see now is very representative of the principles that he put in place in the design of that golf course. So, yeah, I guess my answer would be, yeah, it's pretty good reflection of what he would want. He would recognize that. Definitely.
Doc, just one more before we let you go. And you have a very strong faith and religious convictions.
Yes, sir.
And so talk about the role that your faith plays in your life.
Well, I'm a very committed Christian. I was saved by accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 15 years old. And I wasn't a perfect Christian, and I'm not to this day. I've had a lot of ups and downs, and frankly, if my salvation was dependent on me, there's no way I could do it. But fortunately, my salvation is dependent on God. And you know, my whole day, I just really try. I try as best I can. I don't always do it, but I try to realize that my life may be the only reflection of the gospel that people see. And so I try to keep that in mind. I wear a bracelet around my wrist from my friend Scott Lehman from In His Grip Ministries. And it has, it constantly, every time I look down at my Fitbit, there it is above it. And it just says, In His Grip. And that's kind of where I try to be and want to be all the time. I'm not the most faithful person in the world, but thank God I worship a faithful God. And I'm grateful that I do.
And it's interesting you mentioned Scott. We've had Scott on the show not all that long ago. And you did a wonderful interview. He did a wonderful interview with you, with the two of you walking out on the golf course early in the morning. It just looked like, you know, it sounded and looked like a wonderful experience for Scott and, you know, I'm guessing maybe for you as well. And kudos to the two of you for what that was like.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate your asking me about that, Chris. Thank you. Thank you. I'd love to share that.
Doc, before we let you go, how can our listeners stay up to date, you know, with all the things you're doing, whether they can, you know, can they follow you online? Can they follow you on social media? How can they stay up to date with all the things that you're involved with?
You know, I tell you what, I'm in the process still of getting a website together, and I hope to have that launched soon. But, you know, if people really want to get in touch with me, just shoot me an email. I'm not that hard to get a hold of. And I'll tell you, and I'll even give you my email address. It is B Jones. That's pretty simple. B Jones at BIA, that's Bravo India Alpha, BIA and the number one, BIA1.com. B Jones at BIA1.com. And that'll get me. And then what
there
I'll do is when I do get a website, anybody that shoots me an email, I'll make sure you get the web address.
That's fantastic. Doc, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come back on the show. I'm always fascinated by you and your experiences and your stories and your insights. So I thank you for coming back. I hope you'll come back again soon and share more of them with me, because I have such a great time every time you've been a part of the show.
Chris, thank you so much. And I should be the one thanking you. I really appreciate being on, and always love talking to you.
All right, thank you for that. Doc, take care. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you and your family if I don't talk to you between now and then. And like I say, hopefully we get the privilege of catching up with you again soon.
That'll be great, Chris. Merry Christmas to you too. Take care.
Take care. Thanks, Doc. That is Dr. Bob Jones IV. And folks, we had the blessing of also having Scott on the show, Scott Lehman, on the show not all that long ago. And the interview that the two of them did together, and walking very early out on Doc's golf course, there at his home course, was absolutely spectacular. I really highly encourage you to go check it out. I believe it's out available on YouTube. If you Google it or you go on YouTube and do a search for it, I'm sure you'll find it very easily. It was a wonderful piece that the two of them did together. But the opportunity to have Doc on the show and to listen to his experiences, love the part about his trip to St. Andrews and the things that he and his wife got to experience while they were there. I'm telling you, go check out the picture if you can find it. And, some of the stuff is available out on social media of he and his wife inside the Hell Bunker. I'm telling you, folks. And Doc, I don't know exactly how tall Doc is, but he's not a short man. So I'm sure he's taller than I, and I'm a shade under 5'9". So I'm sure he's probably taller than that. But to see him standing, see the two of them standing in the Hell Bunker, and the lip of that bunker is a good foot over the two of their, over the two of them, or over Doc's head, and he's much taller than his wife. But to see what that, that perspective of how deep that bunker is, you get a sense for exactly why it's called the Hell Bunker. And God forbid, your ball is up near the wall of that bunker, because you're just sort of sunk. You're gonna have to figure out some way to chip it backwards to get yourself out of there. It's an amazing, amazing picture. So thanks to him for coming back on the show and sharing some stories about that trip and all the other things that they got to do while they were out there on that vacation. So like I say, hopefully we get to have Doc back on the show again real soon. All right, folks, before we close up shop, you know how we always like to remind you about our friend and PGA Tour pro Jim Estes and the great work that he is doing over at the Salute Military Golf Association. Let's hear a word from Jim about everything that they are a part of and what a great organization the Salute Military Golf Association is.
The Salute Military Golf Association was created to provide rehabilitative golf experiences to the brave men and women who have been wounded while serving our country. Hi, I'm Jim Estes, PGA Golf Pro and co-founder of the Salute Military Golf Association. With my adaptive golf program, we've successfully helped thousands of soldiers in their recovery, both mentally and physically. The SMGA has been providing family-inclusive golf experiences across the country since 2007. To date, the SMGA has equipped more than 1,000 warriors with properly fitted golf clubs and has extended its clinic series to more than 8 chapter and affiliate locations across the U.S. If you are a wounded veteran interested in participating, or if you'd like to learn more about the Salute Military Golf Association and find a chapter closest to you, visit our website at smga.org. We've seen firsthand how impactful golf can be in aiding one's recovery. The Salute Military Golf Association, empowering wounded veterans one fairway at a time. Visit smga.org. That's smga.org.
Yeah, folks, they continue to do amazing things at the Salute Military Golf Association. To find out more information, to see how you can get involved, go online to smga.org. All right, folks, it is time for me to put a bow on this episode of Next on the Tee. My sincere thanks again to Scott White and Dr. Bob Jones IV for joining me tonight, and I hope you all enjoyed the show. Please give me your thoughts. Check out our page on Facebook, Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro, and share your feedback. Plus, if you've got a question for one of our future guests, and you can see some of our future guests, our lineup there on our website, nextonthetee.net, please go online to our Facebook page. Let me know. I'll be glad to get that question on the show for you. Or if you've got a question for one of our guests that has been on previously, I'd be glad to get that question over to them and get it answered for you. Again, our site online is nextonthetee.net. Please also check out our sister show on the football side, Thursday Night Tailgate, with me and my co-host Bob Lazzari and our announcer Joe Lajanusha. That show airs live every Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time over on Blog Talk Radio. And that show, like this one, is also available as a featured podcast over on Podbean. We can't thank our partners on Podbean enough for, you know, for featuring our show on, both on Podbean.com and on the Podbean app as well. And folks, if you really love, you know, listening to podcasts across, you know, any genre, please check them out online. Again, podbean.com or the Podbean app. Download it for your Android or your iPhone. They've got such great podcasts available for you across all kinds of genres. Over on Thursday Night Tailgate, we are joined every week by five NFL legends who come on and share their stories from their playing days, plus insights into what's going on around the NFL today. Plus, we also highlight two players doing great things in their communities in our Spotlight on the Positive segment. You can find that show online, again, at ThursdayNightTailgate.com, where you can stream or download any of our archive episodes from there or over on Podbean for that show as well. Folks, thank you again for choosing to listen to this show tonight. We know you've got a lot of shows and podcasts that you have the opportunity to listen to. We really appreciate the fact that you are making Next on the Tee one of them. Until next week, hit them straight, my friends.
You've been listening to Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro, where PGA and LPGA pros and top instructors and media members go to tell their stories. Join us the same time every Tuesday to hear more stories about the game we love from people who love sharing those stories with you. It's all about the great game of golf. It's all about the great game of golf.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Owning a home is full of surprises. Some wonderful, some not so much. And when something breaks, it can feel like the whole day unravels. That's why HomeServe exists. For as little as $4.99 a month, you'll always have someone to call. A trusted professional ready to help, bringing peace of mind to 4.5 million homeowners nationwide. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to HomeServe.com. That's HomeServe.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.